Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Takes a snap. Kirk looks, sails it. Drake there, caught! Touchdown Atlanta! Drake London, for the first time in 14 games, he stands in the end zone, and the Falcons have tied the game.
Misery loves company, at least I do, and if I'm going to be miserable and the Cowboys fan base is going to be miserable, then let's get a Philadelphia Eagle stunner last night on Monday Night Football to start off the Tolo Tuesday edition of Sean, RJ, and Bobby here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan, Atlanta Radio with the call, as the Eagles had a 97.6% chance to win that football game last night. Yet primetime Kirk, primetime Kirk Cousins pulls out a shocker.
You can't lose to
this
Kirk.
This team doesn't know how to lose.
On a night game. You just can't do it. They had no business losing that football game. And that was just a coach not understanding numbers. That's all that was. Not understanding numbers and how to do, how to make the math and the analytics work. Because you can't just willy-nilly say, oh, I'm going to use my gut here. You either use the numbers or you don't. Use them every time or you never use them at all. And he went for it on 4th-and-4 early and then decided to kick the field goal on 4th-and-3 late. Can't do it like that. You either go for it both times or you go for it neither.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, you're wrong.
Well, yeah.
It's like in blackjack, right? You know, you're up not, against a 7.
It's not,
and you've
like,
got a 16. You either go for it every time or you never go for
it. It's not like with blackjack.
I know
you had your cool analogy you thought of and you were really proud of it.
I know you're like Troy Aikman and just an old man.
Yeah, well, I know I actually watch it and you just look at a computer screen.
No, Philly lost, right? Calm down, guys. Calm down.
Yeah, it's just
let me rebuttal. You had your little rant. With blackjack, I believe you have to do that because of the deck and the cards that are in there, and you maintain the same strategy until the shoe is reset and done. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with the overall, you know, point of going for it, not going for it with the different decisions. But if I go for it, this is what coaches always say. If I go for it 3 times in the game on 4th-and-4 and I fail because it's clear I can't block someone up front, it's clear that this wide receiver is dropping the football or my quarterback is off that day, I can see changing that approach the 4th time you do it. If the first 3 times failed, then I don't know if I'm necessarily going to be married to the same strategy.
You get an injury, things change, right? Absolutely. Yeah, things change because now the numbers change.
See, I'm a little surprised that you're taking this path, because I was expecting you to say the play call worked. Saquon should have caught the football, and that's game over. Screw you, Alec Medford. Screw you, Saquon Barkley, because that cost me in our fantasy matchup.
Did you have Saquon?
I was going up against his kicker. So Saquon gets the first down. That's game over. Kneel downs. Instead, they get the extra 3 points to go up 6. I lose by 1 or 2. I'm getting screwed in this whole fantasy league.
Yeah,
what I was thinking you were going to say is the play call worked. I'm not going to sit there and question it because Saquon dropped the football. Nick Sirianni's call worked. You know what I mean? It was
right.
Saquon who dropped it. Now, you introduced the possibility of the ball being dropped, especially to Saquon Barkley, 16 drops over the last 4 seasons, the most of any running back. I don't disagree with you, like, totally. I just don't know if I do it the first four times.
Yeah.
Because we always say this about Mike McCarthy. Yo, man, what is your strategy? What's your mindset throughout the entire season? Are you going to go for the fourth downs? Or are you going to not go for the fourth downs? But I was expecting you to give him a pass because Barkley dropped.
I do give him a pass for that. I mean, ideally, in that situation, your number one thing on third and three is try to get the first down. Right? You're trying to get the first down and the game.
Yeah.
What I would have done is maybe run it twice there. If, you know, they go into it knowing, hey, we're going to go for it. On. So that I think what he did was the reason they passed it is because they were planning on kicking. Whereas if you knew they were going to go for it on fourth down, on third down and third and three, you got two running plays. Keep the clock going or make them burn because they were out of timeouts, I think, at that point. So just keep the clock going. That's what they could have done. Now, it wouldn't have mattered because Atlanta scored about 11 seconds.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they didn't even need all that time. But, yeah, I would have probably run it twice there, but that's a perfect play.
95% to 90%, the analytics show if the Eagles went for it on fourth and three after the fourth down drop, kicking the field goal on fourth and three following the third down drop, drop their percentages 5%. I'm old school with it, and I'm like, hey, Kirk Cousins isn't going to do this. The Falcons' offense is broken. Make them score a touchdown on you and win the game. But then you have to take into account what type of defense are you going to play. And the Eagles, Bobby, thankfully, with Big Dom on the sidelines, was calling the wrong type of defense because they went right down the field.
Yeah, they marched right down the field. It was something that I went back after the game was over and watched the Manning cast for, like, I picked up the 2-minute warning. I was like, I just want to see how they reacted to all the decisions that were made at the end. And Peyton and Matt Ryan both said something that I thought was interesting, where they said that when you've got a guy that's in a new offense or somebody like Kirk Cousins who had not looked comfortable all night, the last thing you want to see is them in 2-minute offense. Because, like, it's all basic concepts. It's all the stuff that you're familiar with. It's out routes and posts. Like, it's just simple. You're lining up. You're playing it. And he's like, they allowed Kirk Cousins, by being able to get into this 2-minute offense, Kirk Cousins was able to be as comfortable as he had been all night because it's stuff he's familiar with. It's stuff that he's able to lean into.
Sirianni is getting roasted, that D-bag face. I was thinking he was possibly going to go ahead and change a little bit this year, but he can't contain himself. He can't help it. Running down the sidelines, the Gardner Johnson, and all the old slow motion clips and memes got brought up, and Sirianni's getting killed and asked, why did you do what you did passing on third and three?
In that scenario, I was thinking they might not have any timeouts there, but obviously they did with the incomplete pass. That would have came down to maybe a minute, and so we wanted to go up 6 points, and it didn't work. So, the decision to pass it there again, like I said, where they were junking it up inside with it being fourth and three to go for it, I thought. With them not having any timeouts, I wanted them to be down a touchdown and see if they could drive the field, and they did. Hats off to them.
What is their process now? Like, if Kellen's calling plays, is Sirianni just saying go for it, or is he saying go for it and dial up a pass play? Like, is he getting that specific, and then Kellen's got it? Because I would assume if he said go, I would assume his just thing would be go for it, because we're kicking it on fourth down, so just get me a play that gets me a first down, and then Kellen call the pass.
It's going to be go for it, Jalen, end up running, like the high school offense that we saw last night. Jalen, just go ahead and break contain and run until you end up getting hurt and end up stumbling with a piano on your back. Like, early on, I was like, he's running like he's pregnant. And then he broke free throughout the night and picked up a lot of yards on the ground.
I assume like Garrett used to say, well, it's a conversation. It's just there is no one decision maker. It's
And a lot of times it is just, hey, go for it here. Or they'll say, hey, be really mindful here what you're calling on third down because I want to go for it on fourth. Like, they'll have certain conversations like that, but the way Sirianni made it sound, and I don't know if he's just trying to cover and take blame, the way Sirianni made it sound was that he said, hey, Kellen, call a pass on third down. We're kicking it on fourth.
So are you in agreement with Choppy that they should have run the football, then you either go for, and then what do you do if you come up short? Are you going for it again, or are you kicking a field goal to go up six?
I run the football, and then I see how close. Am I
fourth? Let's say it's fourth and two.
Probably going for it with them, like the way that they were able to get the tush push to work last night. Like, I probably go with their setup, but I mean, fourth Fourth and one, I'm definitely going for it. Fourth and two, I'm thinking. Like it's a little bit more of a conversation. Because to me, it's like a kickoff, you are going to give them the ball at the 30 with the way the new rules are. Most likely, they're going to be at the 30. Whereas right there, they're taking over from the five with no timeouts left and clock run, like, you know, clock's been run down more.
Yeah, also what going up six does is it forces more aggressiveness on their part. Like if they're just down three because you didn't get the first down,
yeah.
Like Bobby said, they got to go 95 yards, but also their number one goal is just getting a field goal range. Then you take your chances in overtime. Whereas this, they knew they had to go for the touchdown. So it's a little bit different. It changes your mindset a little bit. And that's a good point by that said that you want to really get a team, a quarterback, comfortable, put them in a two-minute offense.
Yep.
Pepe, the Tolos have asked you to start spying on Filthy. Again, misery loves company. What's it sounded like early on?
The hosts have jumped ship. They're saying this is a mediocre football team. The guy said, a win or lose, I said this was going to be a mediocre football team from the whole year. And so I was like, okay, that's golden right there. Had a couple callers, I think, that we can piece something together here. But so far, you know, it's been just angry hosts right now.
And this has to suck big time for Sirianni, who was on the hot seat last year. Many people thought that he and Mike McCarthy were both going to go, maybe even Brian Daboll as well. And now you're going to have this haunt you. This is a haunting loss with the way this happened at the end.
Yeah, I mean, this was, we talked about the
don't get me wrong, people are already going to bring this up. Would you rather lose like the Cowboys or the Eagles? I'd rather lose like the Eagles because yes. Now I have major questions about my entire football team versus just game management.
So ESPN analytics and next gen stats and everything like that, they'll all have their different percentage chances of winning. Like their models are all a little different. Next gen stats had it with 1:56 left in the fourth quarter. The Falcons had 0.7% chance of winning. It was less than 1%. I mean, that is.
Then they try to screw it up with the Drake London celebration. I don't know whether it was firing gunshots into the air.
It was a gun. Idiot.
What an idiot. Stop being stupid.
Oh, it's hilarious, too, because they go over to Raheem Morris and the official's trying to explain to him. And they've got this shot of Raheem, like the official look at Raheem Morris and going, like, what are you mimicking? He can't shoot a gun. Like, we can't have him doing that.
Yeah, he's mimicking it. And then I'm like, this will be classic Philly. Now they're pushed back to 48. And then Peyton Manning brought up a really interesting point about field position.
Oh, yeah. On the Manning cast, he was, and I don't know how this is different now that you've got the new kickoff rules. Like, I don't know if enforcement is the same sort of options that you've had in the past, but if it is, Peyton had talked about when the penalty happened, he's like, I'm not taking that on the kick or on the field goal. Like, give me that on the kickoff. Make him kick it from the 20, like with the way the new rules are, and get yourself better field position. I would much rather have the field position on the other end than a 45-yard extra point, which a lot of these kickers are showing these days they can just make in their sleep.
877-881-1053. The Eagles lose in Filthy to the Atlanta Falcons, who looked lifeless throughout the entire night.
Yeah, they really did. Real quick on that extra on the kickoff, if they move it from the 20, does all the other players move back 15 yards too?
I think. I don't know. Again, this is such a new rule. We haven't seen enforcement yet of this kind of thing. I'm not sure which way it would go, but I would think they would have to move them back.
That would be a game changer. But yeah, the Falcons looked lifeless in this game. I mean, they didn't.
Other than Bijan.
Yeah.
They didn't offer much. You know, Philadelphia was, I mean, they weren't great either, but they were at least in control, for a large part of the game.
Were you watching Philadelphia last night, again, with that Cowboys comparison in the back of your mind, being like, all right, they're going to win the East. This is a problem in facing them. This is what they do. I was happy to see their run defense with what Bijan was doing to them. I know you said the Manning cast was calling out Philadelphia's defense at certain points in times. I know Gardner Johnson came up with a big play, but there was nothing I saw and took off his helmet.
Yes.
There was nothing I saw last night that made me say, all right, they're definitely winning the East. To be fair, A.J. Brown out, and he's going to be out for a few weeks, add Debo Samuel to the injury list as well in the NFC and Cooper Kupp.
What I saw yesterday, I don't know that I thought, well, Philly's definitely winning the East, but I did say the Philly's a bad matchup for Dallas. Like the stuff that they were doing, running the ball and having success with, I do think like that's probably going to challenge them. And look, Kellen's going to have an idea of some of the ways that he wants to attack them and the things that he wants to do. And so I do think Philly itself, that that is the impression I just take. Not that Philly's great, but that Philly and Dallas, those are going to be two really tough games for Dallas this year.
I don't think that they're head and shoulders above anybody in the NFC East. Like, I mean, outside of the two bottom feeders, like they're not head and shoulders above the Cowboys. Are they better than them? I mean, they have a tough matchup, maybe. I mean, they're tough. Like, they're just a tough team. Like, they're a team that you feel the next day that you played them because they're going to bruise you up a little bit.
Mike, go ahead, sorry.
I think they split. I mean, I think they split game like they always do.
Micah Parsons is here to settle everyone down. And just how bad was the grading for the Cowboys' embarrassment against the Saints? Let's see if it's a little bit better than maybe we thought on Sunday. Inside the Star with Sean and RJ next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cowboys licking their wounds from what happened on Sunday. This is Sean and RJ with the 6 a.m. Club, along with our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. Some leftovers before we move forward to a monster matchup, a desperation game for the Baltimore Ravens coming in here on Sunday on this radio station for your full coverage. Jerry Jones this morning live at 8:30. The Saints had 432 total yards and scored 44 points while holding the ball for half the game against Mike Zimmer's defense. Last time the Saints did that, 2020, against a Mike Zimmer Minnesota Viking defense.
Oops.
Saints have scored 91 points through two games, fourth highest total in NFL history through 2 weeks, just the third team in history to score at least 44 in three straight games. Alvin Kamara, with the Saints running back totaling 180 yards and four touchdowns, also had 172 scrimmage yards and six touchdowns on Christmas Day, fifth player in the Super Bowl era with multiple games of at least 150 scrimmage yards and four touchdowns, and the Cowboys become just the fifth team in the Super Bowl era to give up at least 44 in two consecutive home games. Before Sunday, last home game came in a 48-32 wild card loss, of course, to the Packers, and PFF, I imagine, RJ, was not kind in grading out this football team.
I mean, define kind, right? That's what we're looking for. They had, it was about as poorly as you can get. So after 2 weeks, the Cowboys ranked 23rd in overall grade. Now, they had a really good grade the first time. This one was just quite poor. They were given an overall team grade of 51.7.
Ooh.
Yeah, not good. Not good at all. And if you go, you know, position by position, the
worst.
And we're
grading that like a report card, like 50 is an E?
An E.
Yeah. E, D, E.
F, right? Did you have, you had E's?
Yeah, we had E's.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And E, you got an E.
I feel like you're screwing with
kind
us.
Are you serious?
School is that?
Why are we going?
Why are we going A, B, C, D, F? You know, in Maryland, we just follow the alphabet, you know?
I've never heard of that.
I'm totally thrown.
I got an E.
So, like, you know, anything above, like, 67 is considered in the green, which is, like, starter level. They had three that were really, really poor, all defensively. They had a 29 coverage grade, a 35 run defense, and an overall 31 defense. Tackling was pretty decent, 70. Pass rush was mid. Special teams were a 90. Okay, so that's from the overall standpoint. Now,
way to go, Bones.
If you go a little bit deeper, highest graded player on offense got a 76. That was Luke Schoonmaker.
Okay, Bobby, you gave him a star up yesterday.
Nice one-handed catch, you know, filling in for Ferg. Dak can make any tight end money. I think we've figured that one out. Now, that's with a pass block grade in the 30s for him, which is dreadful.
For Schoon?
For Schoon. Okay. But I don't know how many pass rush plays he had. Maybe Bobby was onto something with the Dak hate because he was the lowest graded starter on offense with a grade of 53.
Whoa.
So, I mean, everybody else was, you know, kind of in the mid there. You had...
Yeah, but Bobby was, I think, punishing Dak more for his checks and his decisions. They're not factoring that in. I mean, they can't.
No, they can't. They can't.
I think they do at times, and they don't know. Like, that's part of the reason why a lot of people have issues with PFF grades is because it's like they're trying to factor things that they can't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. CD, Tyler Smith, Zach Martin, Schoonmaker, those were the four highest. They all had grades of 68 or higher. Everybody else between 65 and 53 on the offense. Now we get to the defensive side of the
ball. Oh, yeah.
Micah had an 86 grade. Okay, 86.2.
And Bobby, you went back, rewatched it, and you agree.
Not with an 86, whatever that means. But no, he was better than I thought. I don't think he was like a game wrecker. I don't think he was like great, but he played a decent game.
Big concern with him in that game was he getting blown off the ball in run defense? Was he a no-show? Was he a target from Clint Kubiak? The answer is no.
No, they did a really good job scheming, like operating around him, like identifying him, chipping him, understanding like, okay, he's over here. We're going to shift the play over here. We're going to do this or that. Clint Kubiak did a really great job going, I can't just stop Micah Parsons all day. I'm going to scheme around him and scheme around his aggressiveness.
So, the 86th grade, I don't know how they come up with that because his run defense was a 77, tackle was a 72, pass rush was a 76. Though,
sounds like an E.
That does not add up to 86, but whatever. Damone Clark was the second highest graded starter.
Oh, so Mike Zimmer was right, playing him over Overshown that much.
He was the only one that would have been in the starter category along with Micah Parsons on defense. Tank was a 62. That's a reserve. Everybody else was a 54 or below from a starter standpoint.
Wow.
Kendricks was a 53.8. Diggs a 51.7. Donovan Wilson a 51.
You know, we didn't talk about these safeties. We're not going to talk about these safeties a lot unless it's a glaring play. Like, I don't know, the first one to Shaheed. When your team gets torched like this with the run game, we got to talk about the safeties a little bit more. Where the hell were they at?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think a lot of the run stuff is...
Where's Jamal?
A lot of the run stuff was you getting just abused in the trenches, in the front four. The front four absolutely ruined some stuff for you. I will say, because I don't think I have this in the 720, the big throw to Shaheed, where Hooker and them got... Kalen Carson's supposed to knock him off his route, and he didn't. Carson was supposed to jam him, was supposed to hit him, was supposed to do something to slow him getting into Malik Hooker's zone, and he didn't do that. So Hooker, I think I'm going to give him not a full pass, but Hooker deserves a little bit of a break for he was expecting a jam or something to knock him off the route so that he didn't just get a free run into the seam, and he didn't get it because Carson didn't jam him.
Five starting defensive players had grades under 40. Carson, 39, Osa, 37, Leafau, 34, Mazi, a 30, Hooker, a 30. Overshown had a 79 tackle grade, very good tackle grade. Run defense was not very good, according to them, 47. And then coverage, a 63, but the tackle grade was pretty good.
So PFF lighten up the Cowboys. Stephen Jones yesterday was on with the KMC Masterpiece and gave his thoughts on the embarrassment.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, I mean, this is the NFL, and we've all had these days. Certainly didn't see it coming. Very disappointing. But, at the same time, we've got a lot of confidence in this team. We've got confidence in, Coach Zimmer. Obviously, that was a tough outing yesterday for the defense in terms of, how the Saints executed. And, hats off to them. The younger Kubiak did a real nice job there for the Saints, and they executed and, were pretty much flawless on their first six possessions. So, those are things that we've got to tighten up and got to go to work. And I'm confident that, that we'll get the job done. Mike's been in this league a long time and very confident in this football team, our personnel, and, we'll get out here and we'll correct things and make the adjustments we need to make and move forward.
How much concern with your brand new coordinator's defense?
Yeah, I just think in general, he did a lot of work, not unlike some other coaches that sit out a year. And, he knows this game well. He's been a very successful coordinator, a very successful head coach, and, have all the confidence in the world that he's going to put these guys in the right spot. He did a great job the first week, and we just came up against a Saints team that's hot, and they obviously had a very successful outing to start the season, and we've just got to continue to our players and coaches getting on the same page in terms of what we need to do to execute the defense and get the job done.
Well, KNC said he would use the word execute, and I heard it a lot in those two answers. They're going to hope, and I think I'm going to hope, that the New Orleans Saints are a significant factor this year. And he already mentioned more on that later, but he already said we ran into a red-hot team. Oh, 2 weeks in, red-hot. You saw what they did to Carolina. So they're going to try to use it's the NFL, and the Saints are on fire. We ran into a juggernaut to try to flush this one.
Is that going to be universal messaging? You think we're going to get the same thing at 8:30 this morning?
Yep. I think, and they're in the PR meeting sitting down with Mr. Tad. It was like, all right, these are going to be the three big bullet points to go to.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's...
Hey, these teams are good out here now. They pay their players, too.
Yeah, right. And look, they put their pants on one leg at a time.
I completely understand the idea of you've got... It's week two. Like you've got to kind of hold the line a little bit after... You don't want to look like you're panicking. Yeah. Because that sends panic within the organization too, I would imagine. It sends panic within the locker room and everywhere else. And so if they were to come out and give no vote of confidence after they played really well against Cleveland for the most part, and then they come back here and they have a dud, I think the messaging makes sense. Now, if you go out there and it looks like Mike Nolan's defense against the Ravens this weekend, it's going to get loud fast about the defense and about the run defense and what they're able to do.
I mean, that's a tough matchup. They see the Ravens every 4 years. It's not like they see them all the time and they're accustomed to them and they play them twice a year. I think you have a much better handle on Baltimore if you see them twice a year. If you don't see that, and now you're forced and you're tasked with Lamar Jackson.
NFL version of Navy.
Yeah, it really is, right? I mean, it really is. I mean, like, that's... Or Georgia Tech, when they were with Paul Johnson.
Yeah.
It's a tough system to play against. And especially if you're getting gashed with the run and that team loves to run the ball, I mean, that's a tough spot.
I don't know who got to Micah Parsons, how they got to Micah Parsons, but somebody got to Micah Parsons with a leadership injection, a maturation injection, because he went on his pod and tried to settle everyone down and take accountability.
My biggest takeaways from that game, one, the effort was not there by all 11. It doesn't matter who plays well, who didn't play well. The effort by all 11 wasn't there. The basic fundamentals of the game of football was not there. And, at the end of the day, you have a standard of who you are during training camp and throughout this process to get you ready for the season. we didn't uphold that standard. That wasn't the Dallas Cowboys that I saw or I knew that showed up last week. It was not the same team this week. Was it the preparation? What was it? I don't know, but I'm determined to get this thing right. As you said, I'm trying to step up this year. I'm trying to be that guy for our team, and we have to be a whole lot better. And it's going to start. It started today. I feel like we made a big jump. Obviously, breaking down a film, it was hard to watch. You know, at the end of the day, you know, coming on to the show, coming out live, you know, it's hard to talk about the losses. It's hard to take it. But anyway, we got to take this loss and learn from it, right? It's early in the season. It's kind of a reminder to the Broncos a couple years ago, Arizona last year. But the championship's not won right now. We got a whole lot of time to get this together. We got a whole lot of time to keep getting better. And this is going to be a big week to kind of get better.
He is just reading off all the leadership cue cards, and he's hitting every one. I like hearing it.
I don't know that I agree with his first point, though, where he said that the effort wasn't there. I didn't see quit. Like when I was watching it live, when I was watching it back, I didn't see them looking like they were quick.
Well, he was saying, look at the way we attack blocks. And again, that's why it's so important to listen versus read. Mm. When I first read him saying this after the game, I was like, oh, he's calling out someone defensively. He's calling out one or a few people of our effort wasn't there. But then you hear it, he's like, all 11.
Yeah.
All 11 effort was not there.
Yeah. And to me, I think by the end of the game, a lot of what maybe some people saw as effort was they were physically beat up. I think they were fatigued. Like, I just don't think they had it. And so I think that they were locked in. It's just they got beat by a team that right now is just better than them.
What are they doing in Carolina? The shocking news of Bryce Young being benched. Tua is not going anywhere. And do you want the Titans head coach in your press conferences here on 105.3 The Fan after he destroyed his young quarterback around the rest of the NFL? Then a college football kegger at 7 next.
Three receivers and Barkley in the backfield. Atlanta going to bring four this time. Try to get there. Hurts his hit as he throws. Bates talking.
Jesse, baby.
Jesse Bates interception. Yeah. With 32 seconds left, Jesse Bates comes up with the interception, and Atlanta, in the thick of the night, has stolen one from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Woo! Man, that was worth staying up for. I was staying up for my fantasy matchup. Screw you, Alec Medford. But it was worth it with the Philadelphia Eagles losing a stunner, a 97% chance to win, and some sites have it even higher. Kirk Primetime Cousins. Look, Cousins, we need to change the narrative about him in terms of the clutch factor and then also winning when the lights are on, because he, with the go-ahead touchdown pass, 34 seconds left in the game, that's his 15th one in the fourth quarter or overtime. That's the most of any quarterback over the last 5 years.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah, so that's
and he did it from under center.
Yeah.
He was not in the shotgun all night, like Warren Sharp was worried about.
So Pepe has been spying on Filthy Radio. We'll see what tiers we can piece together a little bit later on in the show. College football kegger at 7. Texas is number 1 with a new quarterback. And Jerry Jones live at 8:30. But how about the news that came down yesterday as the Carolina Panthers, 24 hours prior, Dave Canales stands up there and says Bryce Young is our quarterback. Yesterday, breaking news, Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle, is taking over 3 games in.
Yeah, and this was very surprising yesterday because of the comments that Canales had made the day before, where he mentions that he is the guy. He's the starter. Okay, fine, right? I think this 100%. Was a Dave Tepper situation.
The owner.
Who is a meddling lunatic.
The new Dan Snyder.
I don't know what it is about the I-95 core. Are they even on I-95? I don't even know. Charlotte's on 95.
It's those E-grades, man.
Those E-grades. Yeah. He's in the E-grade states. This is what's going on here.
They do things a little differently.
A little differently. Because it's very hard for me to believe that the head coach gives the statement that he is the guy 22 hours prior, and then all of a sudden has a complete, and I mean a complete about face.
He also would not answer a question about Tepper's involvement.
Correct. Wouldn't answer it. I mean, that to me is, that tells you everything, right?
So my first initial reaction to this is, you guys are stupid. What are you doing? And why would the owner not want to continue to try to force the number one pick to succeed and get even more reps? unless he's terrified of the fan base bailing and he thinks he can try to save the season with people showing up with attendance. But I'm like, I'm the owner. I want the number one pick out there. We've no offense to Andy Dalton. I've heard great stories about him here in the Metroplex behind the scenes. Great guy, nice guy. We already know what Andy Dalton is, and he's even older. So why would you do this? And then I read some messages that Bobby was exchanging with someone in the know, and it comes down to that confidence factor. Now, do you want to break him? Do you think he can be broken? Let's look at his weapons now and what he's been given and afforded. Adam, friend of the show, Thielen.
He's not young.
He's not young.
No.
Adam Thielen, McCaffrey, gone. DJ Moore, gone. What have you given him to build around? What have you drafted around him? I was still stunned over the news. Stunned over the news 2 games in.
I mean, look, and is it the right decision? It's a great question. Was the decision made by the owner, or was it made by the tape? You know, it was maybe that's it. And look, I mean,
and is it fine if the owner is also the general manager?
That's right.
Absolutely. It's a GM decision.
Yeah. Now he's been the most sacked quarterback since last season. His release time to get the ball out is 24th or lower in the league over the 2 years that he's played. His air yards in 2023, he was 57th in the NFL among all quarterbacks with 3.3 air yards.
Oh.
Along with DeVito, Daniel Jones, Cooper Rush, and Heinicke.
Ugh.
Only one of those players remains a starter in the league. Young this year have gone down to 2.8 yards, 2.8 air yards. And he is dead last in efficiency, dead last behind Bo Nix. He is like awful this year. So that's nothing like to argue with, right? He's been bad, bad, bad. Is this the right move?
Yeah, because, I mean, the idea is, are you going to work through some of these issues? Are you going to let him grow through them? Especially when it's a bad team. It's not like you're going to put Dalton in here and it's like, well, we got to salvage our season. We got to be a playoff team, so we got to put Andy Dalton in here. You're not going anywhere. So, like, ultimately, what are you, is it worth
the
risk?
What are you trying to save?
Is it worth the risk of jeopardizing his mentals and jeopardizing his confidence? And instead of just letting him work through some of this stuff. It's like the question we had earlier this season with Wyatt Langford. Like, does it make sense to, like, potentially kill his confidence by saying, hey, you know what, nice run, kid. You should just, like, stay in the minors and work things out. Or do you let him work through some of that stuff up here? And so, for Bryce Young, I mean, he's not been good. So, he has the second most 20-yard, like, air yards in terms of air yards. He has the second most 20-yard attempts without a completion in the NFL this season. He's got four. He's 0-for-4 on 20 plus air yards. You know who's number one? Caleb Williams. He is 0-for-10. And those two are by far ahead of the rest of the league in terms of complete or incompletions with 20 air yards.
What was the stat on a number one pick being replaced like this?
It's the first time since 1967 that the number one pick has been replaced due to non-injury reasons in his second season. Like, has been benched.
Wow. Unless I know that he's broken mentally, he has to continue to play. He has to continue to be out there.
Yeah.
And I have to try to get some help around him.
Yeah.
But he's, look, I missed on Kyler, because of the stature thing with the size, but I didn't miss with this guy. He's so small.
He's very small. And he doesn't
so
run.
Small.
He doesn't run the way he could. I mean, he's a much better, I mean, he was very smooth in college. He had the ability to move. But he's, while other young quarterbacks, kind of take a leap and, like if you look at young quarterbacks who succeed quick, a lot of them can move because they're able to move the chains and do things with their feet. He has that ability. He just doesn't do it as much.
And the other smaller guys are more stout. They're thicker.
Yeah.
Kyler.
Baker. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, Jaden Daniels, could there be a similar fate for his future with how rail thin he is? But then, Bobby, you said there was a 5-inch height difference.
Jaden Daniels is 6'4". So Bryce Young is 5'10", and he's skinny.
I didn't realize he was 6'4".
Yeah. When you're short and skinny. Yeah, Daniels is kind of more like the size Goff was when he was coming out. Goff was tall and really thin. There were questions about Goff and how thin he was coming out.
He's still thin.
Yeah, I mean, he still is. But that's one of those where Bryce Young is an interesting case because he was – he felt like the guy that was so just like, at very worst, he's going to be league average. But like maybe he's not got top five quarterback potential. Like Stroud was always the guy who had the higher ceiling. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like, what's the baseline too. Here? What's the baseline? Bryce Young was supposed to be, that guy's going to come in and can contribute right away because he's so advanced.
The comparisons between C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. C.J. passing yards, I'll give you the passing yards category. 4602 to 3122. TD to interceptions, 26 and 5 to 11 and 13. Completion percentage, 65 to 59. Win-loss record, 11 and 6 for C.J., 2 and 16 for Bryce Young.
Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold with the Panthers. 22 touchdowns, 19 picks. Since they've left there, they have 46 touchdowns to 14 interceptions.
Wow.
It's a toxic place to play.
Well, it is, but those are the two. Those are two guys that have kind of resurrected their career. Not even resurrected. Like, yeah, they have. But it also shows that there are some guys that just takes time. It just takes time to click. Now, if Sam Darnold may never click. It may just be because he had a three-game stretch in Carolina where they were like 3-0. And then the bottom fell out. And the bottom may very well fall out here in Minnesota, too.
Tua said he's going to meet with neurologists and doctors. But right now, the early reports are no plans to retire.
No plans to retire. I will be stunned if he's not in a Guardian cap the next time he goes out there.
Mm.
I don't know why he isn't. Like, he is the poster child for doing that. I think the Colts have a guy that's wearing one. That's the one guy that wears one in the NFL on a regular basis. That would make perfect sense to me if I'm Tua, but this is what football players do. Football players, it's very hard to get these guys to quit. They've trained their whole life for this.
Yeah.
You've got such a finite number of years to play, and you're not just going to leave. Like his family could say what they want. The NFL, like, what are they going to do? They're going to tell nobody to sign him? You know, they're going to force Miami to cut him?
They've never done that before. You say you got a finite number of years, but you also got a finite number of years to live and to like.
Mike McDaniel told him, "You are also the starting quarterback of your family." It's a good line.
He had it's four concussions in 5 years. Like, that's a lot. And like the kind of, I was looking at some stuff yesterday about the connection between like concussions and CTE and stuff like that. So there's definitely a link. But a lot of it, Boston University had a big study in 2017 on it. They said that every year that you play in the NFL, for every year you play, you add a 30% risk that you'll get CTE.
Whoa.
Like, for each year that you end up playing as it continues on. But there was a study in Canada in 2020 from
like with no history of the concussions, like just playing?
Yeah, just playing. Because they call them sub-concussive hits. And those are just the impact hits you're taking all the time that aren't concussion hits. But the Canadian Concussion Center released findings in 2020 that said in their study of former athletes, they found that three concussions over someone's lifetime increased the likelihood of CTE, and four concussions increased the likelihood of severe stages of CTE later in life. So this is already a big risk, obviously, playing the game of football. And then when you're to it and you've got four concussions in 5 years, like, there's some troubling data about what that means about the end of, you know, the end of your life.
The Texas Longhorns are number one with a brand new quarterback. Let's talk about it with the college football kegger here with Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. The college kegger is next on 105.3 The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.